Okay, we're holding Baslam and Dalit, but I think we got all the way to, yeah. We got up to the top of Lama Dalit. So let's review a little bit, because we have a complexity over here. We're trying to figure out why we're taking for granted that the only din of Shvua Seidah is where the Kfira, the knowledge of the testimony, revolves around something monetary. Who's to say it's only maybe even if it isn't monetary, such as the cases in the Mishnah, I want Eidus that I am a Kohen. We know that that's not considered to be a violation of a Shamar Kol Allah, and that the person would have to bring a Karban if he ends up refusing to be made. So we had a number of different approaches. We had Reb Eliezer's approach, which was the first approach in the Braisa. So the Braisa brings essentially all of these approaches in one Braisa. And Reb Eliezer has a very interesting limud, which is from the fact that there's a repetition of O when it comes both to the dinim of Eshvua by Pikadon, and Pikadon is obviously a din specifically in Mominus, as it says. So it's supposed to be O Bitsumet Yad, O Begosel, O Hashaka Chavirot, all O's. Then the same O that we find over here, the Shama Kol Alav, Hu Eid, O Ra'ah, O Yadah, is talking about Momin. Now we pointed out to him, to Reb Eliezer, that after all there's other locations where we find the same O construct, such as by Ritzicha itself, or by Sota. And the Gemara ended up saying that what's unique is that these O's share a context of being, first of all, Shvua, and second of all, being unrelated to a Kohen. It's just O in general, which leaves us only comparing the O's of Shvua Sa'edus to the O's of Shvua Sa'edus. That was Reb Eliezer's approach. Comes along Rabbi Akiva, and he seems to disagree, and he says that the real limud is from Vahayakiyah Shamakas Me'ela. Me'ela means from some of the possible shvuas that you might have made, but not all of them, and therefore it must mean money, and it doesn't mean anything else, which later on we're going to question. Why does maybe it means the other direction? I mean, there's nothing innate in that. Rabbi Yossi Aglili has yet a third approach, and he tines that everything is based on the strange concept of an aid, which is O Yada, O Ra'ah. I mean, how is such a thing possible? You either, if you're an aid, then you have to be both Ra'ah and Yada, so you can't have an O Ra'ah, O Yada, that they're separable, unless you're talking about Dinei Mominus. In Dinei Mominus, it is possible to separate the two. And he gives us an example. How is it possible to separate the two? Because you can have cases where someone sees something and knows nothing about the context, but nonetheless he's capable of testifying to, and that would be if the case was set up in court in such a way that a person had agreed that if it could be proven by testimony that he had ever had $100 counted out to him by this guy, then he would accept the fact that he owed him that money. So then these Aedim, if they say we saw him count out, normally we throw them out of court. So what do you mean you saw him count out? You might as well tell us you saw him climbing a ladder. I mean, who cares if you saw him count out money? Do you know what it was? Was it in the context of a loan? Was it a sale? No idea. Saw him counting out money. We'd laugh them out of court. He was interested in what happened about this guy's money. But since it's possible, it's an ominous to create a case, because after all, once a person is mitchayev on something, then that becomes the basis on which we're going to don the din. So over here, we're going to don the din on the basis of the factual case. That the guy said, if someone will come along and testify in court that I counted it out, then I admit that I owe you the money. So you can have a case where he was ra'ah. You can also have a case where he was yadah, which is a classic case we have many times, in which since hodah by mominus is meaningful and valuable, is sufficient to be mechayev you. So somebody admitted in front of an aide, I owe this guy $100. Didn't give any information at all. He only says is, I owe the guy $100. Now this aide saw absolutely nothing. There's no transaction. All he can be made on is the fact that he knows that this guy owes $100. That's all. So there's no re'iyah, there's only idea. But such a thing is possible only by Dinei Mominus, and since the Torah sets up the Shema Kol Allah to be referring to a case of O Ra'ah, O Yadah, it's got to be referring to Mominus. A brilliant analysis. Rabbi Shimon comes along, and Rabbi Shimon's approach, I think we did say Rabbi Shimon yesterday as well, right? Rabbi Shimon is a little bit strange, because first he starts off saying, well, why don't we just say it's the same thing as Shavuos HaPikadon? Just forget about learning it out. Shouldn't it be the same as Shavuos HaPikadon? So we thought initially he's making a Mamatzino. Then he turns it into a Kal V'Chomer. And he says, well, you know, I mean, it's even better than that, because after all, by Shavuos HaPikadon, we have much less limitation on the chalos of the Shavua. It could be male, female, relative, not a relative. Doesn't matter whether the Shavua is made in court or out of court. And it doesn't matter. Now, at this point, he ends. We're going to see we run into problems. But it doesn't matter how many times you make the Shavua, you're always going to be chayav. Mashen ken by Shavua Zedas. If you're part of the court, you can only make a Shavua once. It can only be made by men. It can only be made by Rechokim, not by Krovim. It's a very limited application. So certainly it's not going to have a broader application in terms of whether it's talking about Mominus or other things. The Shavuos HaPikudim is very limited in its application, despite the fact that it's so broad in who's chayav in it. That's the Kal V'chomer. Now, where we're going to get into trouble is the question on the Kal V'chomer. Gemara questions the Kal V'chomer, the Brice itself actually questions the Kal V'chomer by saying, how can you learn it out from there? Mala Pikadon, this is basically where we were up to, so let's start looking at that inside over here in the sixth line down. Mala Pikadon, she came loa sabo mujbak and ishba meidid pikishogay. And we're saying as if it's a given. That when it comes to a Pikadon, you cannot hear the shvua of somebody else. You have to make the shvua yourself. And furthermore, you're not chayav on a shvua that was done b'mezid, where you know perfectly well that you're lying, that you're not supposed to be lying. And nonetheless, the din over there is that you bring a korban. So by edut, by pikadon, you wouldn't bring a korban. But by edut, where you know you're lying and you shouldn't be lying, the din is that you do bring. So therefore, maybe Tomar Beiduchkin Asaba Mushbak Nishbao Mezit Kishogeg, maybe that's the reason that Eidut would have a broader application, because the Torah is much more machmer on it, to say that you'd be high of a carbon even than Mezit, and to say that you would also have to bring a carbon if somebody else made the Shavua, and you yourself didn't make the Shavua. Now, that piece is going to give us a lot of trouble, because it happens to be that that's not the din. Kalman, you just started. Could you move over? You're sitting in someone's seat. Just come on over here. Nobody likes to sit next to me, so that seat's always open. I've spoken to my dentist about it, and that doesn't work. So now, the question is, why is he making assumptions that are simply not so? In the Mishnah, as we'll see later on, you certainly are chayav by pikadon in these cases. Okay. In any event, Rabbi Shimon continues, since I have a problem over here in learning out from Shavuos HaPikadon to Shavuos Eidos, I will tell you the ace up my sleeve. I could have told you this all along, is that really it's a gzeirah shavah. And we find Techata said by both, Nefesh ki Techata v'shama kol alaz, the introduction to the parsha of Shavuos Eidos, and Nefesh ki Techata v'mo'ala mo'ala Hashem is the introduction to Shavuos HaPikadon, and therefore the two are comparable, and in the same way that Shavuos HaPikadon is clearly a din in Mominus, as it says Beferish, so too is the din of Shavuos HaEidos limited to a monetary application. That's where we got up to yesterday. Mala alam ena medabel b'tfiyat mamon, just like a pikadon is only in a financial obligation, I think it might be even worthwhile, before we continue here, to review briefly the differences between the various shvuos, because we're going to be talking about them in context throughout the sugya in order to see how they interrelate here. So first of all, let's note that we've been talking about a number of different types of shvuah. Now, we started off at the beginning of the Masechet, we were talking about shvuah bitui. Shvuah bitui, the only case that's mentioned in the Torah, is la ra'leitiv, which is la'atid. We had a machlokas about whether it would apply also l'sha'avar. Again, when I say apply, I mean apply in terms of the sugya of korban olav yoreh. Obviously, it applies. It's an iser of shvua sheker. It doesn't matter whether you're talking about la'avar, you're talking about la'avar. It matters in terms of what the fiyav is. We had a machlokas whether the fiyav is lo yafel dvaro, the fiyav is lo sheshavar bishmi l'sheker, and how exactly sheker l'sheavar relates to shvua shav. But in any event, l'maisa, this shvua could exist, l'sheavar or l'atid. It has a fiyav only if you do it b'shogeg, and it is chal on anybody. There's no differences of whether it's a male or a female or a korv and so on. But there's no halacha of Bezdin making you swear. Somebody else making you swear in front of Bezdin, you're not saying a name. Then you would be chayav shvuas pita. That's absurd. Either you make the shvuah or you don't make the shvuah. Because it doesn't involve anybody else's business, basically. It makes no difference. If somebody else makes the shvuah, you'd have to make the shvuah. Then we had shvuah shav. And in shvuah shav, we had also the special dinim, only in terms of what constitutes shav. And in the other senses, it's the same as the shvuas bitui, except that it's not part of the story of the karbanas. And the question over there is whether there's makas that will part you, lo yinake Hashem, we dash your chayim makas, if you do it amazing, because Bezdin is makin and manakim. Okay, that wasn't a major part of our discussions, because after all, strangely, our Masechta seems to be very focused on the parsha of the karbanas, not of the parsha of the shvuas, even though it's called shvuas. That's why it began with the whole story of Yediyas HaTumah, which doesn't have anything to do with Shavuot. Okay, so Shavuot Shav really was not that important to us. We went through it quickly, and it was okay which point it Shav, and which point it Sheker. But then we got back to our story of Korban Olah V'Yorid. So we're back to the Shavuot HaEdus. Now, Shavuot HaEdus is part of the story of Olah V'Yorid, and it's different, however, from everything else, as we pointed out, because it doesn't say the Ne'alam. Now, all the other cases of the shogeg, that was of the shvuas that were not only shvuas, the dinim that were in Korban Olah V'Yorid, including even the dinim of tuma, it always said v'ne'alam. That was like a big thing, v'ne'alam. There's only one place where it doesn't say v'ne'alam anywhere in that parasha, and that is by shvuas ha'edus. So from there we concluded that there's a special din that shvuas ha'edus is chayav, even though it's b'mezid. You don't have to be v'ne'alam. But the other thing that was important, where's the other drushes? Im lo yagid v'nasavon. Oh, so we learned out from there that the Haggadah would have to be a meaningful Haggadah, which means that there had to be a kvira in front of Bezdin. We had a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachomim, whether you can make the shvuah outside of Bezdin, even if it's not coupled to a kvira in Bezdin, you would be chayav separately on the shvuahs that you make outside of Bezdin. And we had a machlokas we showed him about whether, according to Rabbi Meir, who holds that you need to make the shvuah, you can make the shvuah out of Bezdin, what the din would be if, in fact, you ended up going to Bezdin and being motivated, that you knew the testimony, whether you would then not be chayav the shvuahs you made out of Bezdin. Okay, but it is a very limited application, shvuahs ha'edus, because it requires at least a connection to Bezdin. In other words, if your testimony wouldn't have stood up anyway in court, for whatever reason, wouldn't have stood up because you're a relative, it wouldn't have stood up because you're postulated, it wouldn't have stood up because you're involved in some way in the case, things that have nothing to do with other elements of Shavuot, here would be actually pottering you from Shavuot Eidus. Why? Because the Torah insisted that it has to be Hu Yada. Okay, that was a special dinim of Shavuot Eidus. Now, there's another place, and it's not in the parasha of Korban Olah V'Yorid, in which the Torah strangely introduces the sugya in exactly the same way it introduces the sugya of Shavuot Eidus. And that is the Ki Techata. So over here we had our Nefesh Ki Techata, the Shama Kol Allah, Vuhu Eid, or Ra'ah, Yada, and so on and so forth. That was the Shavuot Ha'edus. In another parsha entirely, which is the din of Korban Asham, not a Korban Olah V'Yorid, which the Korban Olah V'Yorid is a type of chatas. In the parsha of Asham, we have also the same formula, that Nefesh Ki Secheta, and over there it continues, U'mo'alam Ma'al Ba'ashem, V'ki Chesh Ba'amito. Now that's called Shavuot Ha'pikadon, somebody who lies to his friend, and makes a shvua about it, because it says Mu'alam all about Hashem, he was only kichesh b'amito. But the dinner is over there, he brings a korban asha, and he also has to pay a fine of an additional chomesh, he has to add to what it is that he really owes the guy, and so on. So it isn't really part of Korban Olah V'Yorid, yet nonetheless it follows exactly the same formula in the pasuk, and it has to do, just as Shavuot Ha'edus does, with someone's demand being made on you. Externally, Shavuot Ha'edus, somebody's coming along demanding that you be the one to testify. There's no din of Shavuot Ha'edus if you volunteer a Shavuot if you're not going to testify, as we already saw. There's no din of Shavuot Ha'edus if somebody else makes the demand on you, as we already saw. It has to be a response to a tefillah. The same thing is true, curiously, by Shavuot HaPikadon, that has that same formulation. There, too, you need to be responding, essentially, to what somebody is demanding. He's telling you, at least so it appears in the way we phrased it. We said, Buhu Amar. We had the whole discussion earlier whether that's what Amar is. Binding by Pikadon. But in any event, the way it's set up, there's a Tviya when it comes, to Pikadon. There's a unwillingness to pay up what is owed. And the Meshech Chachma points out very beautifully that's really the whole point of the structure of the two parashas, why they're similar. In each one, we say there's a nefesh kisecheta, and then we say what it is that happened. In one, it's v'shama kolala, and the other is u'mu'ala ma'al v'Hashem. Now, the case of both cases is a reference to a chet to someone else and a chet to the Lord. So in each case, it's kisecheta as a reference to what he did to his friends. In one case, he refuses to testify, the other one refuses to give him money. The second part is, what did he do neged Hashem? Well, he was b'shama kol Allah, and he lied with the Shvua. Or he was mu'al b'Hashem with the Shvua. Now you see, of course, there already we see, oh, now wait a minute. Shama kol Allah means I can hear the Shvua from somebody else. Mu'al b'Hashem means I made the Shvua. So we see already the differences. But nonetheless, the overall structure is similar. Now, to complicate things further, in the same way that there's a context for Korban Olah v'Yoreid, which includes Shvuas Bitui and Shvuas Ha'edus, there also is a context, and also other things have nothing to do with it, like Tumas Migdash Kedosha. There's also a context for Shvuas HaPikadon. And that context also relates to the wording, because the same idea of Nefesh Kisechata, U'mo'al Ma'al Ba'Hashem, appears as a Karban Asham for a Chiyav, literally, of Me'ila. So there's almost a playoff on these words of Me'ila, has nothing to do with Shavua at all, that the Ma'al Ma'al Ba'Hashem has to do with Pikadon. It means literally you take something that belongs to Hashem and you use it. And it's exactly the same Chiyuv. You pay the same thing that you would pay for the V'kichesh V'amito. You bring the same Korban Hashem that you would bring for Amito. And what's more, it's also something which is similar to normal Shavuas, and that it's only for Shogeg and not for Mezid. So now we're a little bit confused. Where exactly does Shavuos HaPikudon belong? It's very important to note this entire structure because it's going to be central to the Gemara that follows. On the one hand, Shavuos HaPikudon seems to be set up exactly the way Shavuos HaEdus should be set up, and it ought to, by all logic, one would think, follow the dinim of Shavuos HaEdus. But on the other hand, it appears in a completely different context in the story of Asham. It uses words that have to do with Me'ila, not that have to do with a carbon because of the Shvua. It has Chiyuvim that have to do with Me'ila. And therefore, in a sense, it would be more logical to learn it to be part of Me'ila rather than to learn it to be part of the story of Shvuas in exactly the same way that it's crazy, but we'll learn out Shvuas HaEdus from its context of, let's say, Tumas Migdash V'Kedosha. And we'll say, well, by Tumas Migdash V'Kedosha, it says V'Ne'alam. Why didn't it say V'Ne'alam here? I mean, why do we say because they don't have anything to do with each other. But they do. The presentation and the context of Teirat Korbanos, of Korban Olah v'Yoreid, and Teirat HaAsham in the Parsha of Ashamos is, in fact, a very imposing structure, even though it seems from the outside to not be conceptually related in either way. Shavuos does not seem to be, Shavuos Bitui does not seem to be related to the Dinim of Tuma. And a korban on Tfirah, the Pikadon, the Shavuos, he has absolutely nothing in common with the din of Me'ila and Hekdesh. So, taking those elements into consideration, let us now review the four different limudim that we've had as to why we are limiting Shavuos HaEdus to a Tfiyah in Momon. And let's review them once again. We finished now our Braisa. We had Rebbe Eliezer's opening idea, which was that the reason that we compare them is because of the structure of oaths, and the oaths in the context of Shvua and non-Kohen is all a common denominator that makes us assume that it would be the same idea. Rabbi Akiva says, well, there's more than that to it. It says Me'ela. Me'ela means it's limited only to certain of these cases, not all of the cases, and that excludes anything but the Boman. Again, we don't know where he gets that from. I mean, it could be to exclude anything. But that's what we're assuming right now. Then we had Rav Yossi Aglieli's approach. Rav Yossi Aglieli's approach was absolutely brilliant, in which he said, there's no way to understand O Ra'a O Yada. Forget about the context. The context is meaningless. The words O Ra'a O Yada, in terms of Edus, could only be referring to Momonos. There's no concept of Edus that could be, you could divide between the Re'iyah and the Adiyah. It's absurd. So there you have it in the Pasuk itself. Rabbi Shimon gives us a long back and forth discussion of the relationship of Shavuos HaEdus and Shavuos HaPikudon, Which in the end we tell him, look, I'm sorry, your mametzino doesn't work, your kavachoma doesn't work. So he says, well, actually, I meant all along it was a gzereshav. Okay. Now those are the limudim that we've had. Now we're going to go back and review these limudim one by one. Now there does seem to be, I must tell you, some words missing from the Gemara after the words mitzviat mamon, because usually we have a break between a brisa and then going back four bandiyamim ago to ask questions on the brisa. So it ought to say something like, okay, Omar Mar, right? So Omar Mar, Rav Eliezer Omer, Nemar, and so on and so forth. Maskif la Rav Barula. So now back on Rav Eliezer's Libut from the O'in, Rav Barula says, you know, it's all very nice to try to compare the O'in of Avis to be cut on and say you've got it all worked out because it can't be Tzota, because that's a Kohen, and it can't be Ritzicha, because that's a Shvua, and ignore the most obvious O-in to compare it to, which is Shvua's Bitui itself. What about the O in Bitui Yochichu, where it also says O Nefesh Kiti Shaval Hara O Lehetiv? Okay, so it's also stressing its O's, and nonetheless, it's clearly talking about Yeshimayim Shvua, the Enimayim Kohen, has nothing to do with money, Midvarim Shalobit Viat Mamon, and that you conveniently ignore, and you say, well, since the only other place we find Oin that are associated with a Shvua, which is unassociated with a Kohen, is a Shvua to be cut on, so I'm able to compare Eidus to be cut on. That's a little underhanded. Says the Gemara, well, it's true, but the reason we didn't mention it is because it's more reasonable to learn Shvuat HaPikadon, Shvuat HaEidut from Shvuat HaPikadon. Why? Mistavra miPikadon Avilon HaMelech. Shekein Techata miTechata. If you look at the construction of the two parshas, they are constructed in exactly the same way. Nefesh ki secheta, kineged nefesh ki secheta. V'shama kol ala, kineged umo ala ma'al b'Hashem. So it's telling you that this is the place to look for a multifaceted shvua that involves a sin against one's neighbor, and the context of a shvua. So you're going to look around for a place to compare it to. You're going to get a choice of comparing it to the O of Shvuas Bitui, or the Oin of Pikadon, obviously go to Pikadon. So the Gemara, Adarabba, I mean, look, if you're looking for reasons to compare it to Pikadon, I can give you good reasons to compare it to Shvuas Bitui. Because Adarabba, mi Bitui avilei lamela, shiken chatat me chatat, for heaven's sake. Do you not understand that the context of a chiyav of a chatas, of a korban ol of a yored, is by definition a much more powerful context than the question of whether we happen to set it up that way? I mean, here's the carbon chatas, and there's the carbon hashem, and never the twain shall meet. And why would you want to compare it to something outside of the whole set that it's presented in the Torah? It's presented together with Shvuas Bitui. There's got to be a reason for that. So by Shvuas Bitui, it also says, oh, and you have over there no limitations on it being momentous specifically. Any type of Shvuas Bitui is chayav. Why not conclude the same thing and say that Shvuas HaEidus is on any type of Eidus whatsoever, is not limited to Mama? So that makes more sense to me. Well, says the Gemara, yeah, but you know, if you add up all of the issues, it looks like it's more reasonable to learn it from Shvuas HaPikadon and not from Shvuas Bitui, I'll tell you. Because, Mistava Mipikadon Avilei LaMelech, look at all of the issues in which it's similar. I mean, you have Chet, you have Bemezid, you have Tave, you have Kafre, and you have Avre. So what this means is, each one of these stands for a concept, each one of these words, and it's really a sin. Chet b'mezid, Tave v'Kafre v'Avre. The guy went ahead, sin b'mezid, somebody made a demand, he rejected it, and then it was all over. It's a cute sin. What does it stand for? So we know already, Chet stands for the Techta Techta. And then we have the idea of mezid. Now, of course, here we're making the assumption that there is a chiyuv of unmezid by Pikadon, and that's not what Rav Shimon says later on, but that's the halakha. So in both of them, you're chayav unmezid, and also, both by Eidus and Pikadon, somebody comes along and makes a demand. By Eidus, he's making a demand for testimony. By Pikadon, he's making a demand for his thing. And in both cases, you're rejecting what somebody else is asking of you. There's a kfira. And you're saying, no, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know any testimony. I don't owe you anything. And both of them are nogea, the past. What happened? I don't know, or I do know. Not I will know, or I won't know. So, therefore, they're very similar. Mashenka, when it comes to Shuas Bitui, well, it's not like that at all. First of all, it doesn't say Techeta. And there's no Chia B'mezer. There's no response to anybody else. There's no Kviya Tviya. There's no Kvira. And the case that's given in the Torah of Shuas Bitui is La'ralite in the future. So, it doesn't really have any comparison to Shuas Bitui, if you think of it. Well, it's just, well, now, wait a minute. Adarabah, it has many things that are in common with Shuas Bitui. The first of all, as we said, she came to Chatat, right? But we have Chatat Shiyardala Chomesh. We have a Chatat that came down to 20%. That's the Sinan. So what does that stand for? First of all, both of them are a Chatat. Second, we said before. Secondly, they're even a most unusual Chatat. They share the context of the parsha of Korban Olah V'Yareh. And they don't have any additional monetary component of a Chomesh. Mashenka in Shvas HaPikaron does have a monetary component, and therefore, it's off the charts over here. It's not part of our set. So we should compare it more likely to Shvas Bitui. Says the Gemara, you're right, but add it up. The Hanak Mafishin. You've got more ways in which Shvas Eidus is similar to Shvas HaPikaron, then it's similar to Shvuat Bitui. Therefore, we're going to learn it out from the O-in of Shvuat HaPikadon and not from the O-in of Shvuat Bitui. Now, again, let's recognize we're not talking about the question of whether we will upfront learn it mitzad hasvara from Shvuat Bitui, Shvuat Pikadon. That's not what Rabbi Eliezer is saying. Rabbi Eliezer is saying, given that there are two sources of O-in, in other words, the Torah has already made it clear that there is something fundamentally similar in these cases. Otherwise, I would say, look, forget about it. You know, I mean, this is one parsha, and Shvat Apikadon is a completely different issue. It's not part of our discussions here in the context of Shuras. But the very fact that we have this very weird construction of O-O-O is itself an indication that we're talking about similar concepts. Now the question is, which one of them is more likely to be the source? Bitui or Pikaron? Once you've opened up the door for me to consider whether I should look to this O or that O, now I have a right to simply analyze, in terms of overall commonality, which one is more common.
At the end of the day, what is this one? It's not a Gezeres Shava. It's not a...
It's a Mamatzinu, essentially. It's a Mamatzinu, but it's a Mamatzinu that has its source in the fact that the Torah opened the door to a Mamatzinu.
Are you just trying to identify which one it is? And this is just these are just indicating factors. Actually, I'm learning OO, and I'm just using it for identification.
Yeah, but OO is not Gezeres Shava. We didn't see anywhere that it's...
The structure is similar.
Yeah, but, I mean, the Lothar is not saying that it's Gezeres Shava of OO. He says Nemar O in Nemar O. So now, Rabbi Akiva, he's got his own approach. And then Rabbi Akiva said, Vayaki Yesham Lachas Mi'ela. Again, as I said, we're going through every sheet down in the Braisa to review it. So Rabbi Akiva says, Vayaki Yesham Lachas Mi'ela, which means Yesh Mi'ela Shu Chayav, Yesh Mi'ela Shu Patur. And therefore, I say the thing that is included is money, and anything else is not included. HaKetzat, Tivo Mamon Chayav, Tivo Davar Acher, anything else is Potter. How did you get that? Epochana, why not say the exact opposite? Why not say anything to do with money, you're Potter, and any other thing, you're Chayav? Well, Rabbi Akiva is actually relying on the good old O-in, you see. I mean, he's not just saying in general, he's saying, given that we have our O-in, and that those O-in imply that it's only Tviat Mamon, now your question is, well, why not expand it? So you're saying, Mi'elas, no, don't expand. I'll go beyond that. I mean, so what's the difference between Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Akiva? I mean, what is he, when he's saying, well, don't expand it, it implies that according to Rebbe Eliezer, we do expand it somewhat, the O-in. What would be the difference between them? So my denial, between Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Akiva, Ike Benayim, I'll tell you what the difference is. Whether it would be expandable to, let's say, Eidei Karka. Let's say somebody, the Shavua over here is Nogea, testimony that has to do with a piece of land. Now, the piece of land in all the other parshas of Shavua, Lagabi Shavua, Dayanim, is excluded. So, the question is, would it be included in testimony about land ownership? According to Rabbi Eliezer, who was only looking at Owen, okay, so that's broader, and therefore we would include the Shvua of Eidei Karka. According to Rabbi Akiva, says, but the Torah even has added Me'ela to limit it, and to say, from these cases, not all of the above cases, that therefore it would include only issues of chattel, not Karka. Yeah.
The land is not like Mamon.
It's not like Mammon in every way. In certain ways, it's like Mammon. Mm-hmm. Or, and what about according to Rabbi Yochanan? What about Rabbi Yochanan? Who holds that much Be'edikaki, even according to Rabbi Eliezer, is Potter. So that can't be the difference, because there's basis, as we'll see, for Rabbi Eliezer himself to exclude Kaka, even though he doesn't darshan Me'ela. So what would be the difference? Ma'ikim in Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Akiva? Well, the difference would be Eidiknat. In a case where somebody asks for Ha'oda, for something that has to do with knas, we talked about this yesterday at length. Ramban points out that you should not confuse the two sugyas at all. The shaila of eidei knas, which involves dover agorim lemoman, and whether we say that the guy may be moda, and it's dependent on the machlokes for blood rip shem and the chachomim must have heard a moda be knas v'achakach bo eidim is chayev reporter. None of that is germane to the discussion here, because as Ramban points out, we're not talking about to be made on the chiyav of knas. We're talking about to be made on the money that was already determined in Bezdin as being a chiyav of knas. And the question is whether we learn out from Ribuyu Miyute, as we'll see later on, in 3 days from now, whether we learn out from Ribuyu Miyute that that type of moment that originated from knas is included or not. So that would be the issue. So according to Rabbi Akiva, we're going to even exclude Eidei knas. According to Rabbi Eliezer, will include Eidei Knas. There's an interesting Rimigash that says exactly the opposite, that Rabbi Akiva is the more inclusive. But all right. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, getting now to the next case, Omar Mar. So you said Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, who Eid O Ra'ah O Yada, that this must mean an Eidut that could exist, that it's Bitkayemet, with seeing something without knowing what the heck you saw, or by knowing something without having seen anything. And the only possible way that that could be would mean Eidei Month. That's what you said. It's absolutely a brilliant way of looking at the puzzle.
Rebbe really
likes the Gosi. I love that.
Every time Rebbe said it,
Rebbe says, everything else is straight up limudim over here. It's an analysis of the. I love the way that he takes over Ra'al Yadav. Seriously. I'm going to buy it. Now, wait a second. What you're saying is, therefore, that it is impossible to conceive of a knowledge that you haven't seen when it comes to anything but moments. Is that right? That's what you're saying. Now, that would mean that absolute knowledge of a thing would not give you the right to be made about it when it comes to other issues that aren't inanimate. In other words, let's say that two witnesses see a guy running into a room, wielding a knife. A fellow is running away from them. They scream to him, "Don't kill him! Don't kill him!" They run into the room, and by the time they run into the room, he's holding the knife, which is dripping blood, and the guy is dead on the ground. Nobody else is in the room. That they cannot come to Bezdin and testify this guy killed so-and-so. They didn't see it. They know it 100%, but they didn't see it. That's what you're saying, right? Okay, that's very interesting. Because it's not all that certain that that's the case. First of all, let me ask you something. Stan is an interesting question. What is the din if that happens in front of a bezdin of Esrim Mishlosha? 23 Dayanim, a guy runs into the court wielding a knife, and he runs into the side room, comes out with a knife dripping, and the guy he's chasing is dead, and all the Dayanim saw this happen. Now, they know that so-and-so murdered so-and-so, right? They don't have witnesses, but they don't need witnesses. They don't have a ra'ah. A big deal.
They
don't need witnesses because they know themselves what happened. Can they posture on the basis of their knowing? He doesn't need to be.
What is
knowing? Ein eid nasa dayan means that if he needs to testify in front of the other dayan, then utilize that testimony for the din. But if he doesn't need to testify at all, there's not a very nasa ein eid nasa dayan. Where that comes in is the gale, let's say, Kiddush HaKodesh. You saw the moon at night. You have to be Makadosh HaKodesh. You cannot also be the Dayan and the agents of having seen it. You'd have to be made in another Bezdin. Fine. But that's because you couldn't have said Makadosh HaKodesh at night, because Bezdin is a Makadosh at night. But where you could paskin the din right now in front of you, why can't you paskin on the basis of that yediyah? So it could be that this whole idea is only a limitation in testimony. It's a limitation in yediyat hadayanim. That's the first question. Fine. But anyway, we're talking about Aiden that now would come and tell the same thing to the court. We absolutely know that Reuven killed Shimon. So we'd say, well, I'm sorry, you'd have to be able to see it in order to tell us. Is that right? How about in Momenus? Is that true in Momenus? If I know something, absolutely. Again, evidentially. Not because somebody was made. Could I be made? Well, actually, that's the machlokas. And that's what opens up the problem to us. says Rav Papa to Abai, if Rabbi Yossi Aglili is so convinced that there's no such thing as testifying to absolute yediyah that you didn't see, then it must be doesn't hold the Rabbi Acha. Because Rabbi Acha says, Gamal ha'ocher ben ha'gimalim, v'nimtza gamul ha'rug b'tzido, b'yadua sheze harago. This is a case that we had where you have a camel who is mating, and the reason we call mating Ocher by Gimalim is because, as the Gemara says, they mate back to back, which is a strange way of mating, so we call it Ocher. In any event, they get very vicious, these camels, and so they kill other camels that are around if they're in heat, and they'll kick the other camels. So if we find a camel that we know was now attempting to mate, and we find another dead camel thereby, we understand that he had attacked the camel. And you're chayav to pay. Now, that's completely circumstantial. You did not see the camel kill the other camel. So if, according to Rav Acha, we accept circumstantial evidence, why would we not have the same exact case by Dinei Nefashos, where we would accept circumstantial evidence, certainly circumstantial evidence that's stronger than that, because Iyisei de Rav Acha, but Dinei Nefashos is not in the Shkakos, so we could easily conceive of a case of a Yadah separately from a Ra'ah, such as the famous case of Reb Shimon ben Shetach, the Tanya Amar Reb Shimon ben Shetach, im lo ra'iti achat shiratach ha'chaviro l'churva. I saw somebody chasing another guy into a churva. V'ratzti acharav, I ran after him, v'matzati sayev v'yado, I found him holding a knife, dan b'taptev, blood is dripping off the knife. Harub b'farfer, the guy is now in his death throes on the ground. Oh, Martilo, I told this guy, Rasha, mi haragolas, and now who killed this guy? It's either me or you, because there ain't anybody around. And I sure know it wasn't me. There's o ani o ata. Avomaya said, now what am I supposed to do about it? She'ein bimcha b'asru b'yadi. You are not in my hands to take care of. Sharei amra Torah, al pi shnayim edim o shlosha edim. You mat hame. Ela hamakom yifra mimcha. God should pay you back. Omer lo zazo mishamach nashkon nachash v'meid. They hadn't moved from the spot before the guy was bitten by a snake and died. Now, according to Reb Acha, the only problem with Reb Shimon ben Shetach is the fact that he was alone. The issue that he's saying is that there's no testimony. It's just that it's about Bishnayim Adim and I'm alone, so what am I supposed to do? I can't do anything with you. Furthermore, we can also say even that there's two parts to it. Ein Dimcha Basur B'Yadi would mean I'm not in court now that I could act upon summarily upon my idea. I need to be an aid. If I need to be an aid, I need two witnesses. But not that there's no witnesses. Maybe there are witnesses. So according to Rav Acha, the case of Reb Shimon ben Shetach would be a case in which if somebody had come along, said to aid and testify that you know that Reuven killed Shimon, that the din there would be, why shouldn't it be that he's an aid, yada, but was not Ra'ah? So it must be that he doesn't hold of Rav Acha. That's what we'd have to say. Now, this is a rather stunning new idea, because all along, I mean, all through Masechta Sanhedrin, we assumed that certainly anybody who holds that we would paskin on the basis of an umdana, circumstantial evidence, that would only be true when it comes to dinim mamonis, never would it be true when it comes to dinim nefashos. As a matter of fact, the very Mishnah that distinguishes between dinim mamonis and dinim nefashos, actually, the Gemara immediately asks about Reb Acha, right, and says that Reb Acha only says his din by dinei mamonis, not by dinei nefashos. Right, because part of that Mishnah says, if you recall, did you perhaps come to this testimony because of what you figured out and not saw? And this is the Mishnah about dinei nefashos. So the Gemara says, well, you could have asked the same question when it came to mamonis. Did you come to this testimony because somebody told you, because you figured it out, or did you really see it? Obviously, we don't care. By Mormonist. Who would say such a shita? Only Reb Acha. But that means that Reb Acha himself distinguishes between Dinei Mormonist and Dinei Nefashos. We're trying to say the Mishnah over there is going like Reb Acha. So why now is the Gemara assuming that Reb Acha would have been true even the Gabi Nefashos? It's astonishing. We never entertained such a notion before. Okay, Tosis has to go through it. There's a different approaches among other Rishonim as to how to explain the difference between the two Gemaras, why we're making this assumption. Ultimately, Tosis says that over there, we were forced into thinking it was Reb Acha before we could think of an alternative explanation to the Mishnah. But in the end, when it turned out it wasn't Reb Acha, we realized there was no basis for our artificial distinction between Mominus and, of course, Alibid Reb Acha. And indeed, according to Reb Acha, this is Tosis' Shita all over, that all of the distinction between Dinei Mominus and Dinei Nefashos are created min Rabbanan. There's absolutely no basis in the Torah for seeing any difference between them. You have exactly the same Lashonos in both cases, the same Drush of Chakira, the same requirements. And therefore, if there's a difference, it isn't a difference Mi'ikrat. So, according to Tosus, therefore, it works out very well. If Rebaka agrees to circumstantial evidence by Momenus, he would accept circumstantial evidence by Nefasha. In which case, are we agreed that there is such a thing as an aid that was Yada or was not Raha? It's Rabbi Yossi Aglili's whole explanation goes down the tubes. I'll leave the Rebaka. Unless we say that a whole Rabbi Yossi Aglili is based on the Shita of those who argue on Rebaka. Says the Gemara, well, not necessarily. I feel they may each lead to Rebaka, even if he holds the Rebaka. Because what have you showed me? That there's an aid that's yada without being ra'a. Okay, fine. But is there an aid that's ra'a without being yada? By dinei nefashos. Absolutely not. If a witness is testifying something, then it has to be germane testimony. It can only be germane testimony if he knows what he's testifying about. He can't simply describe an event. We won't take him into court. The only reason he's describing an event in dinei momenus is because the Baal Din can be motive when it comes to dinei momenus. So if the Baal Din says, look, if there's a witness that saw you counting out the money, then I am now mitzvah in court to pay you that money. So then, of course, the court is interested in knowing whether there is such a witness. But a guy who would walk into court saying something that is irrelevant. I saw Joe shoot somebody. That's irrelevant. What do you mean you saw him shoot somebody? Did you see whether he shot a Jew or a non-Jew? No. Did you see whether he shot someone in self-defense? No. And I don't know anything about it. I saw him shoot somebody. You say, thank you very much. Talk to you later. When you know something about the case. Certainly not interested in testimony that's irrelevant. So we will not bring you to a bench. We may call the police and find out whether the guy has to be arrested to protect the plea boards or other things. We're certainly not going to accept testimony under such circumstances. So even though you could have a ra'a, v'yada, you can't have a ra'a without a yada, even if you would have a yada without a ra'a. In the other case, it's circumstantial evidence. Therefore, Rabbi Yossi Aglili's distinction still stands. It's only by momentous that you're going to have either ra'a or yada. Whereas by dinei nefashos, even though you could maybe have a yada without a ra'a, you'd never have a ra'a without a yada. So therefore, see that inside. Afilu teimisin rabacha, bishlemi yediya belo ri'iya. Yes, it is possible to conceive of a case in which somebody knows something without having seen something. Mashkacha stuff. But how can you have a case in which somebody saw something without knowing something? Milo boy made him, the guy has to tell me what happened. He's got to tell me. Was it an Ovik Yochavi Marag? Was it Yisrael Arag? Maybe it was an Adam Trefa Arag? Maybe it was a Sholim Arag? Maybe it was a self-defense, and you have no idea what you're talking about. If you simply say, I saw someone pulling a trigger, no, big deal. For a court, big deal. I'm not saying that police, big deal. But for the court, it's a big deal. He's not a witness to anything. But testimony is not about information. Testimony is about a case.
But a mamun also it can happen, because you can see, I saw them, Shlomo gave money to him, and he says, you throw, yeah, I gave money to buy a cigarette. So
correct, that's why we specified about five times already that the case would only be where good old Shlomovitz said to the court, if anybody ever saw this guy count money to me, then I guarantee you I will pay it back. I categorically deny that such an event ever happened. So fine, so then it's okay. I am paying it back. Of course, in general, we throw him out of court. That's the whole point that Rabbi Yossi Aglili is saying. You can only artificially construct cases when it comes to moment. You can't artificially construct cases when it comes to nefashos. Because by moment, what it is that somebody says is germane. Whereas by nefashos, it's not germane. All right.
Why do we need both yediyah without ri'iyah and ri'iyah without yediyah?
Because you could have said v'hu eid o yada. You don't have to say v'hu eid o yada o ra'a. I mean, o ra'a o yada.
Because yada would include also. Okay.
That's right. So now it says they go, okay, but there's certainly one interesting thing over here. Because shumami no kasav rabbi yaseh aglili majbiya eidei knas potter. We've always been interested about that issue. This has been sort of an obsession of ours about whether the din of Shuvata Eidas has to do with Tashlumei Knas. Because of the din of Motiv Knas Potter and so on. We talked about all that yesterday. We've spoken about it today in a different context. But here, this is just a tangential insight, is that it's got to be that even though Rabbi Yossi Aglili is forced by the construction of the pasuk itself, rather than by the context, into saying that we're talking about dine mamonis, that same construction precludes dine knas. Because by dine knas, you can't have an ora anol yada. Because in any case where the guy was moda, obviously, then it's not a knas. You can't say, well, I heard the guy say a chayav knas. You did? Then he's butter. So, what would the case be? And you can't have a case which he's going to tell me, I saw something that's a chayav knas. How could seeing something possibly be a chayav knas? Ditzak that the chayev. I mean, yes, maybe you could have a yediyah without re'iyah in the case of a knas which the guy that was already mechuyev and bezdin made. But you certainly cannot have a re'iyah below yediyah because what did he see? The milo boy beda nochrit baal bat yisrael baal betula baal buulah baal baal. I mean, buulah baal. What's the case of the knas? He's going to say, come and be made. That this guy would be chayef to me because he seduced my daughter who was a betula. Well, I don't know nothing about your daughter being a betula, sir. I'm really sorry. So what are you going to do? So Mamela, either they have something to say about the case or they don't. So they need to know. Oh, you mean your unmarried daughter? Oh, good old Gloria. I can't believe it. He seduced Gloria. That's terrible. Yes, indeed. I don't know anything about it. So the only case in which he could know something about it, he has to know something about it. Yosef Ravam Nuna Kameda Rav Yehuda. Ravam Nuna was sitting in front of the Bez where Rav Yehuda was in a shear, basically. But he wasn't in front. He was like off to the side. The reason he was off to the side, you may recall we had back in Kedushin, Rav Yehuda had some sharp words with Ravam Nuna, and he told Ravam Nuna, you know, you ain't no ham Nuna, you're a kar Nuna, which is, you ain't no hot fish, you're a cold fish. And the Nuna is a fish, and there's a play on words, ham Nuna and kar Nuna. So they didn't exactly get along too well, because Rav Yehuda did not think too much of Ravam Nuna as far as, so he had sent him out of the room. In any event, but I mean, Ravam Nuna was a Talmud Neman, and he would sit there all the time trying to pick up whatever he could, even though he wasn't perhaps in the Rebbe's good gracious. So Rav Yehuda was sitting around, and he was saying like this to the Talmudim, he was saying, what would be in a case where a guy says, mana maniticha bifnei ploni ufloni? You know, I lent you money. I counted out that money right in front of witnesses. And the Adim, in fact, had seen this. But the guy himself didn't know that the Adim had seen it because the Adim were roinot to me bachutz. So now these Adim had no idea what the money that was being counted out was for because they weren't inside. And the guy who he was being told there had no idea that the Adim had seen him.
The
Ploni and Ploni? Yeah. No, he had no idea the Ploni and Ploni were looking. Because he had these Adim outside, and they were looking in at what was going on. But they couldn't hear what was going on. They had no idea whether it was a loan or whatever. So what would be the din in such a case? Now, Ravam Nuna pipes up and says, well, what do you mean, what would be the din? What does the guy say? I mean, Mamonasha, Halamatoin, if he says, never happened. So he's obviously a liar. We have witnesses that it has happened. Now he would be Huchzak Kafran. Because they did see it happen, and therefore, even though they don't know whether it was, you know, money that was owed, or maybe it was a gift, or whatever, but he's now considered to be a kafran, and he can no longer be believed on it. So then they will have to pay. There's no way you can get out of the tfiyah anymore. Normally, we believe you when you deny it, and maybe sometimes we'll be b'chayav shvuat hesed, and so on. But over here, the guy is a kafran. He lied to us. And on the other hand, if he said, well, yes, of course you... Thank you very much. You counted out money. You're darn right. You counted out money. You owed me a lot of money. By the way, where's the rest of it? So what would be the point? I did take that money. Did he be Shakli? What would be the point of Adam's, their Adam's testimony? The witness is irrelevant. So ki also Adam, my hobby. Therefore, the Adam are like, they're not here at all. There are no Adam. Amalek's Rav Yehuda said, ooh, hamnuna at. You seem to be a hot fish today. So told, old talk, come back in this year, actually. I'd like to have you around. It's a very cute trip. The process of the thing is, if you don't put it together with the thing in Kedushin, it's like very strange. Oh, you're Hamnuna, come on in this year. I mean, oh, you're Hamnuna, come on in this year. But if you see it in the context of the previous conversation, it's very cute. So he says, you ain't no Hamnuna. So today, he says, there you are, a Hamnuna, come on in. Now, Ahudi Amalei L'chavre, there was a guy who was Tovea, his friend, saying, look, I counted out that money right next to that Amud, okay? And you're claiming that I never lent you the money? Amalek, the guy said, I don't know what you're talking about. Lo avarti betzad amud. When did I ever pass by that amud? Also, Trace Adi, two witnesses come along, and they say, we saw him urinating by that amud. Now, he'd be difficult to do that if he never passed by that amud. So, if they say, the guy's a liar. He said I never passed by the Amud. So he can't say that he doesn't owe the money. Rav Nachman said, what kind of crazy? What do you mean, Kafran? That's the kind of been in the Persians done. That's not Jewish law, my friend. What do you mean? The man never said, never in my life did I ever pass by this Amud. He said, I was never by this Amud, meaning in context of your tviyah, there was no such counting. The two of us had never sat by that Amud. But he's saying, never in my life did I go to this Amud that he's called the Ufa Kafram. This is nuts. Ekeni Amri, as a matter of fact, others learned that this, we're missing the information here. Of course, that's not what happened. What happened was that the guy said, I counted out the money betzad Amud zeh. And the response was, I have never in my life been near that Amud. That's what the issue was. So he said, Lo avarti betzad Amud Olam. And then the witnesses came that in fact they had seen him urinating by that Amud. And Reb Nachman it was who said, Huchzak Kafran. And nonetheless, Rava said to Reb Nachman, no, even though he swore he never, not swore, but even though he says up and down he's never been by this Amud in his life, that's absolutely meaningless. Because, sometimes, where's the guy going to care about where he's urinating? Well, why should he remember? Oh, this wonderful Amud, it was such a pleasure urinating there. It obviously makes no difference in the world that he was by this Amud. So if it was no gaya on some level, then when a person says something, then we say he means precisely what he said. But to say, no, I absolutely never stepped on an ant today. That's ridiculous. You're looking when you stepped on an ant, you wouldn't have noticed. That's all. That the shot is that it has to be something that's relevant. It has to be milsa de ramiale de inche. But if it's not ramiale, if it's not something that he views as being a relevant issue, the fact that afterwards he denies it vehemently doesn't prove a thing. By the way, the Basilis Sharm, as you know, makes a tremendous...
It's all subjective from one person to the other.
Okay, but certainly you can't view something like urinating as something that's significant. One second. So I just wanted to mention that you'll remember that the Basilis Sharm uses this idea as a basis for his whole sefer. And Ramchal writes to Basilis Sharm, he says, based on the idea that milsa de lo ramile ayinshe, something that a person doesn't view as significant, it's not something that's Romulus that he's putting on his head, lava daite. That's why I'm writing this book, because I'm trying to make you aware of the issues that should be significant to you. And once you're aware of them, then you will know what it is that you're doing. But if you're not going to think about what you're doing, so you'll say, oh, I had a wonderful day today. I was a real mensch. Not remembering the 5,000 pieces of Lashon Hara, the 50 lies, the 20 insults, and so on. Why should you think about it? It's about Ramile Ainche. It's like urinating at the Amud. What do I? Don't pay attention. As long as I stepped over, it was an ant I stepped over. So until you learn that people aren't ants, and so on. So yeah, that's what the safer is for. Yes, what were you asking?
What's the situation if he says, yes, I always urinate at that when I go to my
yeah, that would be a problem.
And that's the Amalaya deal, right?
No, it's just nothing to
well,
do with
I mean, it. In another way of looking at it, right? You see things, but you don't know what you're seeing. It's like,
you're saying a brilliant structural context. Beautiful, beautiful. I love that. That's great. That is great. That's ingenious. Yeah, it is ingenious stuff. But please, don't put yourself down. It is pure genius. I love that. But hear what he's saying. I think the overall context of the Gemara is dealing with a concept of re'iyah without yediyah. Nusval Ramule is a re'iyah, but there's no yediyah. Of course, in the broadest sense, it has to do with the Vinelam of our whole Mesechta, right? That's yediyah-based rabble, you know, but it makes absolutely no difference. It's Nusval Ramule. No, the Mesechta revolves around the Mesechta. That's why it's a very important horror. The next case that we had, so we've gone through three Mandi Amrim in the Brisa, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Yosef Agrivi's brilliant trap on that. And now we have the fourth approach. The fourth approach of Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon really confused us because what he said wasn't even true. I mean, what, you know, he said, well, you know, after all, by Shweza Pikadon, it's no major kishogeg, and and the Mushuk Rabbi Piyachirim. I mean, there's something funny about Rabbi Shimon. And indeed, as usual, Mechako Alei B'Ma'arava, they giggled all the way to the Beis HaMedrash when they heard this. Now, the Ritva points out this, because Shem wouldn't have giggled about a Brisa, this Rabbi Shimon. What they were giggling about was the way that we had quoted this Brisa, as if it made any sense, obviously. The gears of the Brisa was Mishubash, because it's a joke. So it's a joke. Well, I don't know, I guess in Bavo we're a little bit dense, but my Huka, what's so funny about it? Well, what do you mean what's so funny about it? He says, Ma la pika don't you came loa sabo mushbakidishba mazik yishoge. You're gonna be kidding. I mean, if they, mushba mi piatsmo be'ezes, the Rabbi Shimon Minola. How would Rabbi Shimon even know that there is a chiyav when it comes to the Shvuah Sa'edis, where you made the Shvuah yourself? I mean, why is it Shama Kol Allah? Absolute. Either you heard the Kol Allah from somebody else, or you're not Chayav at Shvuah Sa'edis. Huh? Now, how did he know that you could take the Shvuah on your own? The Gomar Mi Pikadon, my friend. Where do you think he knows it from? He learns it out Shvuah Sa'pikadon. Uh-huh. So if that's the case, he learns it from Shvuah Sa'pikadon, then he'd have to be able to learn Pikadon backwards from Edut too. I mean, you're running around in circles over here. If you're telling me in the same sentence, ah, well, Shvuah Sa'edis, you know you're chayav either way, whether you make the Shvuah yourself or whether somebody else made the Shvuah. Masha'im came with Pikadon. It would only be if you made the Shvuah yourself. That is crazy. Because if you know one, you'd have to know the other. If you know that you're chayav by Shvuah Sa'edis on making the Shvuah yourself, then you'd know by Shvuah Pikadon that you're chayav for the Edis, for the Shvuah being made by somebody else. Nigmar mi Enut. Therefore, whoever wrote this thing is a little bit stupid. Well, now, wait a second. My Chukah, what's so funny about that? Maybe Rabbi Shimon does not learn Shvuah Sa'edis from Shvuah Sa'pikadon. As a matter of fact, we already had this discussion with the Talmidim of Rav Papa, if you recall, where they wanted to suggest, remember, the Domino Mina, Domino Vuki Batra, and Rav Papa said, now, well, hold on a second. It could be that, in fact, it has nothing to do with Domino, because we're not learning Sa'edis from Pikadon. Maybe it's just a Kal V'chomer. Maybe Rabbi Shimon knows that he says, look, if mushba mi pi acherim is chayev, so kol shekeinu mushba mi pi atzmo should be chayev. Who's to say that he ever learns out mushba mi pi atzmo on Shvuah Sa'edis from Pikadon? And so therefore you're laughing. Maybe you haven't thought through Rabbi Shimon Shita. So stop laughing. Okay, fine. I'll tell you something else that's laughable. That's what they must be laughing about. This is pretty pathetic that we got to figure out why they're laughing at us and we're not able to figure out why they're laughing even, right? Oh boy. So Elachuka, you know what was so funny? What was so funny is this Mezid Kishogeg jazz. And we said, well, after all, by Shvuah Sa'edis, you chayav a mezid kishogeg, mashenken by Shvuah Sa'pikadon. What is that? They said, Mala pikadon shekein lo asah ba mushba kenishba mezid kishogeg. Now, mirfei. Mezid gabi edut binole. How do we know that there's no din of shogeg specifically by the carbon of Shvuah Sa'edis? Huh? Because it didn't say the word b'nei alam. Isn't that right? Well, I got news for you. Did you ever read the parsha of Shvuah Sa'pikadon? Does it say anything about B'nai Alam and Shvuah Sa'pikadon? No. So why would anyone in his right mind say, Shvuah Sa'edis is Chayav B'mezid, but Shvuah Sa'pikadon isn't Chayav B'mezid? Well, why not? There's no requirement for B'nai Alam and Shvuah Sa'pikadon. That's pretty dumb. So that's what they were laughing at. So, Michtei. Mezid Gabi Edis Minole Deloksi B'nai Alam. Hachanami, it doesn't say Ne'alam, but Gabi Shvuah Sa'pikadon, Loksi B'nai Alam. Amnu Ravuna, so Ravuna said, that's funny. They're absolutely wrong. That's not funny, my chukah. The reason, perhaps, Dilma Mezid, the Lavki Shogeg, the Pikadon, is not that it doesn't say the Ne'alam is not the issue. We positively know that Pikadon is not Chayev if it's B'mezid. Because remember, and then now we're getting to the other side of our whole discussion that I opened with earlier. Remember that the din of Shvuah Sa'pikadon appears in the same sugya of Asham as Me'ila B'Kachim does. And not only that, it opens with the same words that Me'ila B'Kachim does. Umal Amal B'Hashem. What does Umal Amal B'Hashem have to do with the Shvuah Sa'pikadon, for heaven's sake? So maybe that's the point. Maybe the reason that Rabbi Shimon said this is because he's learning Mi Me'ila, Rabbi Shimon Gomar Lo. He's learning it out of Me'ila. And just like Me'ila, it says Beferish is specifically a din of Shogeg, not a din of Mezid. That's the point of Pikadon as well. It's specifically a din in Shogeg and not Mezid. Says Gomar, oh yeah? Hainu Kuko, that's what's so funny. How could anybody be dumb enough to think that Rabbi Shimon would have learned out from Me'ilah if he had an opportunity of learning out from Eidus.
Now we're back to our original question. Because remember, we pointed out that we're going to have to take into consideration the relationship of Shuas HaPikudon to the dinim of Me'ilah because of the phrasing Me'ilah Ma'amal Hashem, and because of the overall context of a Korban Asher, as opposed to a Korban Chatas and a Korban Al-Yared. So here, now we see we're getting directly into this issue. What is so funny is, how could anybody believe that someone in his right mind would learn out the din of Shavuos HaPikudon from Me'ilah if he has an opportunity to learn it out from Shavuos HaEidus? And we know all along we've been relating Shavuos HaEidus to Shavuos HaPikudon. So why would I limit Shavuos HaPikudon? Well, what do you mean, why? I can give you very good reasons why. It's more reasonable to learn it out of Me'ilah, isn't it? Mistavram in Me'ilah, Havi Leilameila. I mean, Shekein Me'ilah be Me'ilah. They both parshas talk about Umar Ma'al Hashem. What better reason is there to learn it out of Me'ilah? Well, no, no, wait a minute. Adarabha, Me'edus Havila Lameilah, remember? Tessata and Tekta? Nefesh Ki Tekata? I mean, it opens with the same words that Shavuos HaEidus opens. We pointed out it's not just an opening, but as the Meshech Chacham explains, it's the entire structure of the dual nature of it. The Tekata to one's neighbor, and then what he did vis-a-vis the Shavua. In both cases. So why learn it out from Me'ilah or not from HaEidus? Well, because still, Mistavra, Me'ilah Havilah Lameilah, Shekein, and now I'm going to give you another simon, and the simon is Me'ilah Bekol Ne'aneh. When you're Mo'el, you have all of the fun. Bekavua Chomesh Va'asham. But you're going to get stuck by paying an Asham and another 20%, even though you had all of this fun. And that is a good reason to learn specifically from Me'ilah. Now, of course, all of these words in the simon stand for a concept. So when we say Shekein Me'ilah, that we know what that is. That's Me'ilah is the word Me'ilah that appears in both. Bakol means that it's noheg by anybody. Ish ve'ish, zakum ve'nekeva, and so on. There's no nafkamina and krovim, rechokim, and psuli edis, and so on. Whereas edis is very limited. Furthermore, not only is it bakol, but it's also nehenu. In both cases, you took something that you used for yourself. The pikadon that you were supposed to be taking care of, you kept for yourself. The me'ilah, you took hegdish, and you were nene from it. That's the only time that you would be chayav.
So
you're nene from the avera. When it comes to edus, is there any benefit accruing to you? No. There's no benefit in saying, I'm not going to say edus to you. I hate your guts. Well, there's no benefit to you. There's no hanoah. So therefore...
Code word me'ilah is just the word.
Code word me'ilah is the word me'ilah, correct. Okay, so by edus is no nene. Furthermore, they're both kavua. They both have a carbon kavua in that we're going to be machayev you the same carbon asher, not an ol of a yorig, which is not kavua because it goes according to how much money you can pay for the carbon. So it depends on how much you can afford. But when it comes to the Shavuos HaPikudon, it's in the parsha of asher, and it's not in the parsha of ol of a yorig, and it's a also something which is machayev both chomesh and asham. This is true of a carbon, rather of a Shavuos HaPikudon, and it's true of someone who is mauled by hegdish. That's a lot of reasons to learn it out from Me'ilah. So I don't know why you guys are laughing, because it seems like an awfully good thing to do, actually, and to say that just like Me'ilah is only b'shoge, so too Shavuos HaPikudon only b'shoge. What's so funny about that? No, it's still funny, because anybody knows that it's more reasonable to learn it from Eidus, isn't it? Because after all, the Chet Hedyot B'Shavua Havei V'Kafrei V'Oi. Just remember that. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. In both cases it says Chet, says Nefesh Ki Techeta, that we've already mentioned. Furthermore, both of them have to do with people, not Hegdish. I mean, Me'ilah. That's a whole different deal. Me'ilah is the way in which you treat Hegdish. Well, here we're talking about elements of business between human beings, nothing to do with Hegdish. Is it more reasonable to learn out Pikudon from Eidus than to learn it out from Me'ilah, for heaven's sakes, which has to do with Hegdish? And not only that, both cases involve a Shvua. Boy, that's a pretty good one. Shvuas Eidus and Shvuas HaPikudon, huh? Yeah, you want to put it together. Shvuas HaPikudon and Me'ilah the Hegdish. That really sounds like they belong together in a very intelligent set. I mean, and they have absolutely nothing to do with each other. Furthermore, you have a tfiyah in both of them. Where's my money? Or, come and testify for me. You have a kvira in both of them. And don't forget those magic oin. Those oin appear in both cases. And they certainly don't appear in the din of Me'ilah. So therefore, you should have learned it out from Avis. You add, but you can add Hanuk Nefeshin. I mean, because you, Tvia and Tvira is one thing. Don't start now adding up things because you'll want to put in another word. Tvia and Tvira is one thing, okay? So Tvia and Tvira is one thing. Then I'm going to learn from the Ela. So now, you still have something to laugh about? Ha ha. I laugh at you. Elamaya Kulika said, well, what are they laughing about? This is actually not so funny. I mean, even once we've gotten to the point where we're going to have to question whether Tvia and Tvira is the same, and it already stops looking very funny. It starts looking like very Lundish. I don't know. Kiyasa, Rav Papa, Ravuna, Rav Yeshua, Mibay, Rav Abre. Well, Rav Papa and Ravuna, they were learning in the Beis Midrash. They came, I'll tell you what's so funny. The whole thing is ridiculous. If Rabbi Shimon has an ace up his sleeve, and all along he knows that he's got a Zereshava, of Techata, Techata, right? So Rabbi Shimon, Zereshava, Gomer. So what is all of this stuff? So, Alam alay depar, Malati kadon, shikin, lo asabo, mushba, kanishba, meidit, kishogeg. You're asking questions on something ultimately that you're learning from Zereshava. That's questions on Zereshava. That's funny. We do that in so many brises. We do that all over the place. We have a question that has to be decided. So we say, well, maybe we could figure it out from a mamatzina. Maybe it's even a kavachomer. No, it's not a kavachomer. Shehoya bedin, but I can show you it's wrong. Talmud lomar x, x. Figure two. Talmud lomar techata, techata. I mean, it's part of the dramatic build-up, Rav says. Why do I need this dramatic zevashava? Wouldn't I be able to figure it out from a Mamatzino, a Kavachomer? Ah, I'd ask of this and that on the Kavachomer. Therefore, and here comes my dramatic ace up my sleeve. Techata techata. Now, if they're going to laugh at this, they might as well laugh half of the Sifrata down. Because I mean, this is the way we construct prices. So that's not funny at all. Michael, what's so funny about that? Vilna Kiparach Mikami to take him like Zereshava. Maybe the only question that was asked was before the Zereshava was brought out on the table. Once we put the Zereshava out on the table, so then, this obviously, he's not going to say any of these things that Adas and Tikkurin are different. They're obviously the same because the Torah says that they're the same. But in the initial build-up, I'm learning one out from the Ela, and I don't see any comparison from the point of view of the Mamatzino or the Kavachomer. So then I need to bring out the Zereshava. Obviously, once I have the Zereshava, I would never mention that they're different. They're now the same. Now you see. Now I got you. Hello? You think that this wasn't referring to after the Zereshava too, huh? You think that he wasn't being very serious, Rabbi Shimon, when he said, well, when it comes to Meila, when it comes to Pikadon, we would never say that Mushpa Mipiacherim, we would never say that Mazid is Kishogan. Oh, no. Believe it or not, I know this comes as a shock to you, but believe it or not, Rabbi Shimon was saying this for real. Not as part of the question of what would be if there was no Zereshava, I would be stuck with this, and then, now comes along Zereshava and rescues us. Sorry, but it happens to be that he apparently really believed this, because Ha'omer lehu Rava bar Iti l'Rabbanan, Rava bar Iti says to Rabbanan, by the way, if you ever hear somebody who says that Shvuas HaPikadon is lo nitan zdonah l'kapara, there is no kapara for a mazid in Shvuas HaPikadon, even the Mishnah says clearly that there is, well, that's Rabbi Shimon's Shita, you see? Well, now, That's pretty silly. That's Rabbi Shimon Shita. Rabbi Shimon has a Zereshava. How could that possibly be Rabbi Shimon Shita? He himself says Techata. There's something screwy about this Brisa. You can't bring a Shita, which is based on there not being a Techata, and stick by it, and then at the end say Techata. That's pretty crazy. No, even that's not so crazy. Because Dilma Mezit Kishogek Porich, maybe the only part that is important after the Gezeirah Shava is only the business about Mezid Kishogeg, and the reason that he holds that the Gezeirah Shava would not apply to Mezid Kishogeg is because he learns it out of Me'ila. Maybe that's the pshat. The reason, of course, as we've already seen, is that he's got a good base for the Hanuk Nefeshin, because there are more reasons to learn it from Me'ila. So, and of course, this is very disturbing, because after you've got Gzeirah Shava, what does Hanuk Nefeshin have to do with anything? You can't, I mean, Gzeirah Shava Lemetza, you can't say, I'll apply the Gzeirah Shava, but not to the part about things I have made it to Shogate. I mean, that runs against the whole deal of Gzeirah Shava. Right?
Can he reach that conclusion before the
Shava? Yeah, but how would Rava Bar Iti have thought that he sticks with it? Why would he say he sticks by it? So, it does suggest that it could be
that he holds that the me'ila is a gzereshah. The nefesh kitimo ma'al and the ma'al by Hashem, by me'ila and by pikadon, perhaps that itself is an alternative gzereshah. Or perhaps Rabbi Shimon had a Kabbalah that the din of me'ila, even if it isn't literally gzereshah, is certainly defining at least the same concept. That a me'ila means something that you didn't mean to do. It means it's b'shogeg. So it's not addressed by the gzereshah. But this is definitely a loose end of the sugya to say that therefore Hanukkah is Ishim. I mean, that's not the point. But maybe Mushba Kinishba.
There is it's
No, it's not. That's an interesting point that you're making. But this is a Kavachomer that, this is a Gzereshava that is Mufna. And therefore you can't ask on its question. You can only ask on a Gzereshava that's not Mufna. But this one is Mufna. So that's exactly why we've got a problem. Mufna is that it's an extra word, that it's not, doesn't tell us anything. And therefore its only meaning is to teach the Gzera Shava, and when it's the only meaning, then you can't ask questions on it. Okay? So fine. So we say maybe this is the case, says the Gemara. Well, but it could be that when we're saying that Mushba Kenishba, he would learn out Pikadon from Edut. He would not say, like he said originally, that no, you can't learn it out because it doesn't make Mushba Kanishba. So the Gzera Shava is applying to that case of Mushba Kanishba, but it's not referring to the case of Mezid Kishoge. Well, that's what's funny. Because then why don't you turn around the Tahadir Edus, the Tigomer La Mi Pikadon, that Mezid La Kishoge? Ma Pikadon Shoge Gin Mezid Lo, Af Edus Shoge Gin Mezid Lo. I mean, look, if you're telling me, on the one hand, that you're ready to stick to the Gzera Shava, and the Gzera Shava is going to teach me that what? That a Mushba is Mipi Acherim, is Kenishba Mipi Atzmo, right? All right. The indication that you're Chayav, even the Mezid, is just from leaving out the word Vanelam. Isn't that true? That's not a positive indication, it's a negative indication. Now, if Lemaisa, by Pikadon, we learn out the fact that it left out the word Vanelam means absolutely nothing to us, because I learn out from Me'ila that it is only and entirely the Shogeg and not the Mezid. So now will you try to think reasonably and see how stupid you are? On the one hand, you're telling me, in the same words, you're telling me, I have a Gzereshava of Tefta Tefta. And yet, I want you to know that the only thing that I'm going to exclude from this is the fact that, well, when it comes to Pikadon, since I learned Pikadon out of Mila, Mila is different because Mezid Kishoge. But when it comes to everything else, I'm going to like Mushba, Mipi Acherim, and so on. They're all applied to Gzereshava. Let's say that for a minute. By Pikadon, do you have a positive limud that Shogeg is the only time you're five and not Mezid? Okay. Do you have a Gzereshava of Tefta Tefta? So for heaven's sake, if you know that the Torah has said beferish, so to speak, by learning from Me'ila, that a Shuas HaPikaron is not Chal the Mezid. And all that implies to you otherwise by Shuas HaEdus is the lack of the word Vanilla. So then, why don't you learn out Shuas HaEdus from Shuas HaPikaron and say Shuas HaEdus is not Chal the Mezid? How do you turn around and say the same words? Well, Shuas HaEdus, after all, is Mezid Kishogeg, Mashen Kane, Shuas HaPikaron. You should have used the tekhta to tell me that Shvuas HaEdus is also only B'shogeg and not B'mezid. That, I think, is hilarious. No, it's not. And for the first time, 35 pages came out that we had no idea what the heck this business about Tuma and Vanilla and Yediyas HaTuma, what does that have to do with the din of Shvuas? We finally figure it out. And we figure it out only because they're laughing so hard in their throat. And we say, excuse me, but the difference between Shvuas HaPikaron's lacking of an elam and Shvuas HaEdus lacking an elam is the difference between Mars and Venus. Because the whole concept of Shvuas HaEdus is in the middle of a list of things that talk about Venelam from here to tomorrow. V'hu, v'yadav, v'yadav, v'nelam, v'yadav. I mean, this Nelam is like the big code word throughout the entire fire show of the year, Korban Olam Yoreh. All of a sudden, you get the one place in which nobody talks about Nelam. Now, explain to me. That's not significant. You're telling me that's the equivalent of a lack of a Nelam by Shuas HaPikaron? When Nelam is not an issue, it's in the middle of a completely different fire show? So therefore,
Why do you think, for heaven's sake, that the din of Shavuot Eidos is written together with Shavuot Bitui in the middle of a whole parsha of Tumas Migdash VeKedusha, which has nothing in common, nothing in common whatsoever? Why doesn't it belong together with Shavuot HaPikadon? What's the matter with your idea of a structure? You don't realize that the structure is significant. To tell me that the lack of the word Venelam is not a lack of an indication that you need the Shogeg? It's a positive indication of being Mechayev Yohan Mezid. You're certainly not going to learn from Gzeira Shava something which is implied to Feirish in the Pasuk. So, if Kula Nehmar Be'Venela, the Kan Lo Nehmar Be'Venela, obviously that's Mechayev Ala Mezid Yishogeg. So you may think it's very funny, but in fact, it's exceedingly intelligent. So therefore, we can utilize the Brisa as it said, even if you want to extend that after he says the Gzeira Shava, he still sticks to some of these ideas. You could stick to the ideas and have no internal contradiction. You can go ahead and say, I learn out Mushpa Mipi Acherim from Gzeira Shava, and still say that Pikaron is Chayev only B'Shogeg and not B'Mezid, and still say that Eidos is Chayev B'Mezid too. Because the positive lack of an Elam is an absolute Gilui Akra that you are Chayev B'Mezid B'Shogeg, and you won't use the Gzeira Shava, even though by Pikaron you learned it directly from the Ela. Now that, you must admit, it was a long haul.
I think it should
but it was, I do too. It was a long haul, and now we finally have a sense of the entirety of the sugya. I think it was worthwhile putting in the time of this daf because it brings together all of the structural elements of the sugya from beginning to end. It's beautiful, just beautiful. It was a wonderful daf. I thank you for your patience and all of those listeners overseas, and we will especially honor Jay and Deborah Tappel today. And if he can get through this daf over the internet, then he deserves the honor that they're giving him in shul, and we wish him much mazel.